First Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 8. And the topic was how to encourage a pastor. And 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 8 says, "For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord." And I take from that that the way you encourage a pastor is to be responsive to the doctrine, be responsive to the preaching. Don't just receive the preaching and the teaching of your pastor as just the words of a man. As I said, when I told our folks that when I preach, when I teach, I'm presenting my teaching as God's word, as thus saith the Lord. Now, can I be wrong? Yes. Can I be simply conveying my own thoughts and my own ideas about a matter rather than that of the Lord? Yes. But that's the responsibility of you to be a Berean, that you receive the word with all readiness of mind, and then you search the scriptures daily to see whether or not these things are so. As Paul would say, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's one of the reasons we study after we hear something, after we receive something. We take it, we study it, confirm it to be so, substantiate the presentation. But then, you know, the point being is to receive it as God's word, to receive the preaching, to receive the teaching as thus saith the Lord. And the end result of that is an effectual working. You remember 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and the word, he said that when you receive the word which you heard of us, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God that works effectually in them that believe. So, how to encourage a pastor? Be responsive to the doctrine. Be responsive to the preaching. The pastor needs to be encouraged. Okay? I know that from first hand. I'm a pastor. The pastor needs encouragement. But the way you do that, the most effective way to do that, is to be responsive to the preaching, be responsive to the doctrine. But the pastor needs encouragement. Being a leader makes you a target, both from without and from within. The pastor needs encouragement. And he is encouraged. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8 again, he is encouraged by our responsiveness to the preaching, to the doctrine. 1 Thessalonians 3, 7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you all, you in all our affliction and distress. Notice, by your faith. You see what comforted Paul? He says, we were comforted over you all in our affliction, in our distress. You see, there's some trouble that comes for being a pastor. There's some afflictions. There's some distresses for being a pastor. And for that reason, he needs encouragement. And Paul says, we are encouraged by your faith, by your responsiveness to the doctrine. You remember he says that when you received the word which you heard of us, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God that effectually worketh also in you that believe. And Paul saw that effectual working. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9. Or rather, in fact, before you get to verse 9, if you look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, talking about the Thessalonians, your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. What he's talking about is their responsiveness to the preaching. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You see, that the Thessalonians responded to Paul's preaching. And they responded in such a way that even when they came under persecution, if you look at chapter 2, verse 14, for ye, brethren, became followers of us, or became rather followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. You see, the Thessalonians, for believing the message that was preached to them of Paul, became the objects of persecution. But rather than departing from the preaching, they responded to Paul's preaching with the work of faith, with the labor of love, and with the patience of hope and waiting. Paul saw that. And that was an encouragement. That strength, that, again, verse 8, for now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. That's encouraging to any preacher, to any teacher of the Word, to any minister, anybody ministering to a body of saints. That's encouraging to see them responsive to the preaching, responsive to see the Word work in them. But the point is, because There are persecutions and distresses for being a preacher, for being a teacher of God, for teaching the Word. You become a target. You, as a leader, as a minister of the gospel, you are a target, both from without and from within. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. In this chapter, Paul calls the Ephesian elders together and had some words of exhortations to them. And in verse 28, he says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So, the man of God, the preacher, the pastor, needs encouragement. And the greatest source of encouragement for the pastor is for people to be responsive to the preaching, to the doctrine. And not just simply be bench warmers. Not just simply come and put in your time and then depart and and never dwell upon, never think upon the things that have been preached to you, the things that have been taught to you. Never go home and chew upon it, meditate upon it, you know, to seek to appropriate that message into the details of your life. And your Christian life will never advance. It will never mature. You'll never be perfected if you do not act upon what is being presented to you. One of the reasons someone can sit up under a ministry year after year, you know, week after week, month after month, and seem never to grow, never to advance, never to seem to come to understand, is because they're not receiving what is being presented to them as the Word of God, but as the words of men. And when you receive it as the words of men, you don't act on it. You don't meditate upon it. You don't chew up. You know, you just see it as another idea. You see it as another viewpoint, the viewpoint of another person. But you don't receive it as God's word. And nothing can be more disheartening to a pastor than to see people who've been sitting under his ministry for years and have to be like the writer of Hebrew, the Hebrew writer, Hebrews chapter 5. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, you want to know something that is very discouraging, very disheartening to a pastor, to a minister of the gospel, to a minister of the word, to a teacher of the word. It's for someone to sit up under their ministry and not to have matured, not to have advanced, not to have learned, and are still dealing with the basics. Notice what the writer of Hebrews, rather, writes here in Hebrews 5 through 14. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers. You see, that's the goal of any ministry. It's to take its people and to make them teachers. If that is not the goal of a pastor, then that ought to be his goal. That ought to be his aim, the goal of his ministry, what he's laboring for and working for. When the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, or teaching you the ABCs. Can you imagine having to teach a sixth grader their ABCs and their 1, 2, 3s? Can you imagine how frustrating and disheartening that is for a sixth grade teacher to have a sixth grade student and have to be teaching them things they should have learned in first and second grade? For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Your time in fellowshipping with one another, coming to church, is for you to grow. If you're not growing, if you're not maturing, if you're not advancing, if you're not learning, then you need to stop and evaluate what the problem is and fix it quickly. And I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. That verse kind of gives you a measure of Christian maturity. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But for when the time you ought to be teachers, you're having need that someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. That's disheartening to a preacher. That's disheartening to a pastor. That he's constantly having to deal with you over basic fundamental truths after you've been there for years and years and still have not learned them, still have not grasped those, have not moved beyond those issues. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. There ought to be an advancement in your Christian, in the fellowship. Any preacher or teacher, his goal should be to make you teachers of the Word of God. That's what he's striving for. That's what he's laboring for. He labors in both word and doctrine. Yeah, doesn't matter. The point here is the fact that you have people who should be teachers having need that someone teach them again the basics, the basic thing. And that's all I'm using this passage for. It's just simply, and my message here is how to encourage a pastor. The way you encourage a pastor is to be responsive to the preaching, be responsive to the doctrine, respond to the doctrine. And when you do that, word has an effectual working in you and will produce the life of God in you. It will produce in you the intended results that God has for that word to produce in your life. That's encouraging to a pastor, to see the saints responding in faith to the doctrine. And that would be the point I want you to pick up on. I'm using the analogy is there, is my point. Not looking at the doctrine maybe of which the Hebrew writer might be dealing with here, but just simply dealing with the fact of the matter that there ought to be an advancement or coming to receive your doctrine that will make you, that will equip you, that will thoroughly furnish you unto every good work and make you a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, that God's will and that God's purpose would be advanced in the earth. And the analogy there for us would be 1 Timothy chapter 2, God's will is that all men be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. How disheartening it is for someone to been under a pastor's ministry for years and not able to lead another soul to Christ or not able to minister the gospel. That's disheartening. That doesn't encourage a pastor. By no means. You got to encourage a pastor. You want to be an encouragement. And my point is the pastor needs to be encouraged. And I'm putting this forth as one of the most effective ways to encourage a pastor. It be responsive to receive the word with all readiness of mind. Search the scriptures. And then respond in the obedience of faith. Look at Romans 6 and 17. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart, get this now, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. But you have obeyed from the heart. That's encouraging. That's motivating. Again, what did Paul say to the Thessalonians? For now we live if ye stand fast in the faith. Prior to that, he said, therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you all in all of our affliction and distress by your faith. You see, obeying from the heart, that form of doctrine which is delivered you. And can I say, it's not only an encouragement to the pastor, it's an encouragement to every other believer that you fellowship with. You want to know how to be an encouragement to one another effectively and effectually? Be responsive to the doctrine. Let the Word of God have its perfect work in your heart. And you're talking about joy. You're talking about it stirring up one another. You're talking about it exhorting one another and motivating one another. That'll do it. You know, to see the Word of God. You see, what endeared saints to Paul? To see them responsive to the doctrine and to stand fast in the faith. When he saw a believer standing, that endeared him. That endeared the saints to him. That endeared saints to you. That is to see another brother or sister in Christ standing fast in the faith. You know, we say all the time, birds of a feather flock together. You know, what endears us to one another? That being like-minded. And being like-minded is not just simply, consenting, that is, being able to say the same thing, but for those things that you say, those things that you believe to have their working in you effectually. That is, you know, you stand by the doctrine. You don't run from it. You don't shy away from it. And when you do it, and another brother or sister in Christ sees you doing it, it endears you to them, and they to you. When you see them standing fast. But I'm talking about encouraging the pastor. The pastor needs to be encouraged. He needs to be encouraged because he has the care of the saints in a way that is not the care primarily, although we should have the same care one for another, but it's different for a pastor. The burden to feed, you know, what we just read it in Acts 20. We read it in Acts 20 and 28. What did Paul say? Take heed unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. That's an awesome responsibility. To be entrusted with the redeemed saints of God. And that responsibility ought to be taken that way. You've been entrusted with the blood-bought saints of God. That's an awesome responsibility. And anybody that has a little care, of being a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's gonna weigh heavily upon them as a minister of God, as a man of God. And for that reason, the pastor needs to be encouraged because of the awesome responsibility. In Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have rule over you and submit. You see, you remember the exhortation, 2 Timothy 2:15, who doesn't know that, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you think of 2 Timothy 2:15, before you generalize 2 Timothy 2:15, rather, remember that it is an exhortation to a man of God who has the responsibility for teaching the people of God. It's exhortation for the preacher. Now, there's good reason for my reason for stressing that, first and foremost, that this is an exhortation to the preacher, to the teacher of the Word of God. And the reason you have that exhortation to the preacher, to the teacher, why I put the stress there, why I say that's an awesome responsibility of the man of God. He has an awesome responsibility. He is teaching the saints of God, the redeemed, blood-bought saints of God. You remember in 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul tells Timothy, take heed unto thyself and the doctrine. For in doing so, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see, he has an awesome responsibility. Hebrews 13:17 says this, obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. You see, the pastor needs encouragement because of the awesome responsibility he has of ministering the Word of God. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, you know that whenever I think of 2 Timothy 2:15, now I never think of 2 Timothy 2:15 without thinking of 1 Timothy chapter 4, chapter 4 and verse 12. When I think of 2 Timothy 2:15, I never think of it anymore without thinking of 1 Timothy 4:12. And what does 1 Timothy 4:12 say? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. You see, now you can understand the importance of 2 Timothy 2:15 as an exhortation, as an imperative for the preacher and the teacher of the Word of God. You want to know why the average person sitting in the church don't know the word rightly divided? 2 Timothy 2:15. Because the man of God doesn't know, doesn't handle the word of God rightly divided. If the man of God, who is to be an example of the believer, doesn't know, guess what you're going to produce in the people? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You see, so I never think of 2 Timothy 2:15 without thinking of 1 Timothy 4:12. And 1 Timothy 4:12 is a good way to explain why the average person sitting in the pew doesn't know the word rightly divided. But the pastor needs to be encouraged. And maybe you never thought about your ministry to the pastor. You know, most of us think of the ministry as a one-way in the church. But it's not. The ministry should never be thought of just one way. There's a mutual ministry that we have to one another, the leadership in the church and the saints. There's a mutual responsibility. And we have the responsibility of edifying one another. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and when I say this, and I'm talking about the fact that the pastor is part of the congregation. He's part of the fellowship. Never think of the pastor as separate and distinct from the fellowship as a whole. If you think of the pastor as part of the fellowship as a whole, then he too needs to be ministered to. He too needs to be encouraged. He too needs to be edified. He too needs to be exhorted. He too needs to be comforted. Ephesians 4:16, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Romans 15:14. Paul writes this, he says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. You see that? Able also to admonish one another. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. There's a mutual responsibility that the structure and the composition of the local church has to itself. The pastor is part of that structure. He's part of that organization. He's part of that design. Never think of the pastor. Never think of it as just simply being one direction. You have a ministry, and you have equally a ministry to your pastor as he has to you. And one of the most effective ways to minister to your pastor is to be responsive to the preaching, be responsive to the doctrine. Receive the word with all readiness of mind and receive it as the word of God, and let that word have an effectual working in you. Paul says, stand fast in the Lord. What does that mean? Be responsive to the doctrine, to the preaching. The Thessalonians were. And what an encouragement they were to Paul. You can be an encouragement to your pastor or to any leadership where you fellowship. The leadership needs encouragement. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. I hope you find something you can take away from this tonight that'll help you be an encouragement to the leadership where you fellowship at.